Off the Ball. GAA.
Cork were nearly too honest. They were doing their best to play the game. Kill the game. Take off their helmet. The ref has to stop the game. Like, do something.
No, it is. Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Proper value from a proper bookmaker. Every day at Cheltenham. 18plusgamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 86 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. Johnny Ward's off this week. So Tom Malone of the Irish Field is with me. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. It's a great time of the year for racing, isn't it, John? We're sort of looking Ascot this weekend and then, you know, Galway and Goodwood next week. It's a brilliant time.
Yeah, so first of all, just to let you know, folks, the first half of the pod is free to air each week. The second part exclusively for members. So as Thomas talking there, we're going to look ahead in the members section to Ascot, York and Goran Park on Saturday. We're also going to get Tom's charity bet as well. So please make sure you do subscribe for the whole pod. But for the free to air section now, Tom, we're going to talk about the small matter of Galway Race Week at Ballybrit. When I think about Galway, I think about a social festival as well as a racing festival. I think of syndicates. I think of really good TV coverage. And I think of some mad stories. I'm sure, Tom, you have some stories over your years in Ballybrit.
I love Galway. It's just such a great day. It's such a great week. I mean, no matter what thing as well, it's almost like a couple of festivals in one, isn't it? So the first couple of days, I mean, if you work in racing, maybe you work in the racing media like we've done over the years. It's a lot of kind of industry days, lots of industry dinners and things like that to go to great events. And, you know, the racing may not be amazing the first two days, but you bump into so many people, loads of great fun to be had. Wednesday, Thursday, then you get into the big racing. And then sort of the rest of the week, it's almost like it's sort of the holiday time where you get a lot of like that Friday night's absolutely jammers. Now it's a real local night. And then you sort of get the tourists around for the rest of the weekend too. So it's not for the faint hearted, John. It's not for the faint of heart. If you were to give anyone advice, there are many, many, many opportunities to lose a few quid at Galway or do something that might leave you too tired and emotional to do something later on in the week. So just pace yourself, really, would be the advice.
If you're looking for a photo with a five-band Gardaí, which I was in 2022, make sure you're doing it relatively sober. Now, I was relatively sober. I got the photo. I was really happy with the photo. I was there in 2003, Tom, and the first thing I was asked, I think, on the first day is, well, do you want to get the helicopter?
Different times those, John.
And I did end up in the Fianna Fáil tent, which is now being abolished because politicians don't want to be at Galway anymore, it seems. But it was of its time. Yeah, I remember I was dressed like something out of Chicago in the 30s. So I don't know if there's any comparison, but I remember I went all or nothing on a Dermot Weld horse called Mantour. And I remember that's the only time my legs buckled underneath me with the nerves of a horse race. And I didn't go back to Galway. It's actually the last time I also saw 500 euro pink notes.
Go away.
And I didn't return to Galway for 16 years when I was roped into going into one of those orbs, those kind of, I'd only seen those orbs which they pushed down.
Yeah. Those
kind of
Paddy Power had those. The day was it the Paddy Power Derby thing or something? Yeah.
I squashed my neck in one of those in 2019. But look, I kind of get what you're saying, because I've been on the Monday when you have the amateur handicap, which is a really lovely way to kind of get into the week, a lovely evening meeting. And then I was being there on the other side of it. I've been there on the Sunday as well when I would come down from Dublin with a group for the day and really enjoyed as well. And then you have the plate on the Wednesday and the hurdle on the Thursday. Do you have a favourite day there and anything that stands out from your
as a purist, I would always love the Wednesday and Thursday, just the plate and the Wednesday and then the hurdle on the Thursday, just races I absolutely love. Obviously you get Ladies Day in there as well, which just adds that whole other layer of madness to it. And was lucky enough to get tickets during when we're coming out of lockdown, which was about 2021, and I think there was a limit of, I think, 1,500. And a mate of mine was, and the tickets were you know, Goldust, just couldn't get them. And a friend of mine happened to be working as a GP in Galway at the time, or he was working for a company in Galway at the time, and he managed to get a ticket for my partner. I got a press pass, and it was the most surreal experience because there's only 1,500 people around, but still trying to create that festival atmosphere that you get at Galway races. It was bizarre, but brilliant at the same time. Yeah, loved it. You know, whether there's, I've had brilliant nights at Galway and brilliant days at Galway, even at the Harvest Festival. It doesn't just have to be, yeah. There's something about it, isn't there? And again, like you say, those stories, I remember there was an interview a few weeks ago of Paddy Hughes on Racing TV. You just associate Galway with someone like Paddy Hughes, clotting a horse throughout the summer and landing some sort of almighty touch, or like Tony Martin in Tudor City a couple of years ago as well, to win, you know, a couple of Galway hurdles with him. Just, I love those horses. I love those stories. And, you know, so often there is, you know, as you mentioned, even though, you know, Willie Mullins and Aidan O'Brien will still send good horses there this week, and they will have plenty of winners. Dermot Weld, he has a better, you know, group of horses this year. There will be fellas who are big syndicates, and you'll just get this amazing clip where they're going to swear on TV with Brian on RTE, and it's just going to be, you know, the talk about going back to some rural pub, and this is going to keep them going for the whole year, and I love that.
Yeah, Brian Gleeson was speaking to Barry Orr one year, and there was a lot of bad rain around, and it was really, really wet in front of the camera. And there was a lad in front, like one of the punters, I don't even remember this, he started wiping his face down, his brow and his face with a 50-euro note. Don't know if you remember that, Tom.
I do. Actually, one of my favourite stories as well, there was... because Brian Gleeson is great to get people to talk to him in the parade ring. And... he was chatting to JP McManus, whose two grandchildren were there with him, and he just had a winner. And Brian Gleeson cut to him, the grandkids, and goes, did Grandad tell you to back that? He goes, he did. He's very accurate. I just thought, there you have it. Yeah, he's very accurate. There's no doubt about that.
No, there's not. We got four big races to look forward to. So on the Monday, look, declarations can always be subject to change, folks. But as we talk to you now, on the Monday, we've got a 6:40 p.m. feature, which is the 2 mile Connacht Hotel QR handicap. This is always one to watch the jockey bookings. Willie Mullins has always got a strong hand here. He's got Charles, Blue Lemons, and Too Bossy for Us, who has been, you know, strong in the market going into this race. Second over the distance at the Curragh last month, and only 4 years of age. Too Bossy for Us, Tom.
Yeah, he's really definitely the one that kind of strikes out for me. Bought for 330,000, the horse and training sale last year. He's still actually a maiden over hurdles as well, even though his first run over hurdles, just like the winner Poneros, was in the Grade One Triumph at Cheltenham. Didn't disgrace himself that day. Then went on a run at the Punchdown Festival, and this will only be his fourth start for Willie Mullins. He's entered in the Ebor as well, which suggests, you know, he's going to have to be a lot better than 92 in time. I think he's a very worthy favourite. And when you look at the profile of horses that win this race now, it's definitely, you know, a classier sort. Willie Mullins has a brilliant recent record in this race as well. I think he's won it three or four times since 2016. You know, the type of horses that have won it, Echoes in Rain. We had subsequent Group 1 winner Princess Zoe win this as well. So I think this could be a case of him being a very classy horse. And he was just the one that just jumped off the page really at me. Lovely profile. And again, like, this horse could end up in a Supreme next year because he still has his novice status.
A Comfort Zone won a 2 mile handicap at Nace last October and returned to form with the third at Royal Ascot over 2.5. At Tolstone, Emmett Mullins won over 1.6 on soft at the festival last year and better off now with the weights with Comfort Zone for that meeting at Nace. War Rooms was once placed in a Dante. He's been staying over 1.6 at Goran Park and Killarney this year, so perhaps more to come from this slightly raced War Rooms. A bit of money for the Tony Martin trained Westminster Moon. A Royal Hollow won last time out at Killarney. One that if there's a money for it, Dawn Rising is interesting because Dawn Rising is back to somewhere near his best, is a distance winner and won a Group 3 at the Curragh last year, once placed in the St. Ledger. Now, has been out of form, but if it returned to form, Dawn Rising might be a good
bet. I wouldn't worry about that horse being out of form. You know, like he does look like he has come back to a little bit of form, like third behind his stablemate Nürburgring and also ascending at Royal Ascot last time out. He's only gone up a pound for that. He's, as you mentioned, he has a touch of class. Another with a touch of class is Blue Lemons as well, who I actually kind of fancy for the hurdle later on in the week. So if he turns up here, I don't know if he'll turn up in the hurdle. But yeah, look, Comfort Zone and Too Bossy for Us, obvious ones near the top of the market. A horse I like who would definitely stay and definitely has a touch of class. He's actually now in the colours of Mark Phelan and Stephen O'Connor, is Falcon 8. They also own Corridor, who has a good chance in the BMW Mile as well. Like, he's an ex... he's always been with Dermot Weld, but he's really well related. And look, he's now 10 years of age. It hasn't kind of worked out for him. But he's around about 20 to 1. And, you know, Dermot Weld in the old GPT, like at 20 to 1, he definitely have an E-Trade squeak. But I definitely think Too Bossy for Us is the classy angle. And maybe, you know, this probably, I don't know if we'll have, by the time this goes to air, if we will have jockey bookings, but at the time of recording, I would imagine if P.W. Mullins sticks his name beside this horse, is going to shorten significantly in price in the next couple of hours as well.
Okay, that's the feature race on Monday, the Connacht Hotel QR Handicap at 6:40 p.m. The same time, 6:40 for the BMW Mile Handicap, which you referenced there, the Colm Quinn sponsored race, 1 mile and half a furlong, Tuesday the 29th of July. So Arandi won the Irish Lincoln back in March and his Grand Versatile has been kept fresh. Mississippi River has been running consistently in handicaps and is better off at the weights now with Sleeve Binnen and Sujet, and the ground is versatile for this horse. Aidan O'Brien horse, only 3 years of age. So Sleeve Binnen and David Marnan trains this five-year-old in good heart after wins at the Curragh and Leopardstown. Gary Moore might send Alpha Crusie over, but this horse might prefer a bit of soft. Sujet, Dermot Weld, Judmont Colours could be ahead of the handicapper, and a bit of money for Grey Leader, Tom, course and distance winner of the festival last year and second last time out.
Yeah, the thing to note, I would imagine the ground won't be too good on Galway. There's a little bit of rain forecast, but also look, there's a novice hurdle there on Tuesday, which suggests, you know, there's a beginner's chase beforehand. So I'd imagine this ground will be watered just to make sure everything's kept very safe. I'm a big fan of Arandi. He won the Lincoln at the start of the year, and that was a situation where they'd taken a pretty long-term view after he finished down the field in the handicap at the back end of last year as well, kept him fresh, won that. Look, the handicapper hasn't missed him. Obviously, he went to try a quick follow-up at Doncaster and he's been put away since. As I said, I think we'll get a little bit of ease in the ground. He's a very, very worthy, chance of the rest of them. Again, I love Corridor. He just always seems to... find a way to get involved in the places. I know he was fifth last time out, but he was pretty unlucky to only be fifth. I thought he should have at least gotten third in the Curragh that day. And he's a horse who just gets going late as well. He'll have a good pace to aim at. So, but Corridor is a good old price as well. I know he's the same colours as the horse I referenced in the Monday race. But, you know, with Dermot at these horses at decent prices, Corridor has definitely got this race mapped out. You know, he's down to a mark of 98 now as well, like really consistently in the low 100s. So yes, obviously he's getting on, but he does have a squeak. Okay, Aidan's horse, Mississippi River, he's pretty consistent too, but you know, it's just a slight ask for him. And you know, he's beaten behind some of these before as well, but including Sujet, second over 9 furlongs of the Curragh. You'd imagine that Mississippi River just might be a little bit short in the market, or kind of a horse to sort of make the market a little bit. Yeah, be a big fan of Arandi, round about 8 to 1, and you know, wouldn't put you off Corridor either. He's a double figure price in this. It's a tricky race. You want to watch for what Aidan McGuinness has in it as well, because he's always have a he doesn't have a run.
No,
this
he doesn't.
Summer.
No.
And actually, it's I'm trying to think of the name of the horse who kind of always nearly used to...
Current Option always ran well.
Ran well in this, wasn't it?
Yeah, you need a low draw on this one. I think it's important because, you need to get a position on the rail, because if you're trying to come from outside, it's difficult.
It can be, although the one thing I will say is if you do have a horse like, say, something like a Corridor who can be ridden for luck, the one thing about Galway is you know they're going to go a million. And so if you can let the race unfold in front of you a little bit and have patience and get wide, you might be able to do it. But again, that's a risky strategy. You know what I mean? That is a risky strategy. And, you know, you think of Galway, you think of someone like the late Pat Smullen, they would always be in the top two or three between the three pole and the two pole, just getting into position to really drive on up the hill. You know, well, that was just the way he rode it, and very few rode it better than him. But, you know, to ride for Look at Galway is a very risky proposition. But, you know, if you do get a high draw, that's kind of what you have to do. And look, with someone like Corridor, he may have to be just ridden for Look.
The one I like each way is Monaster Boy Snowmead, a course and distance winner, and this could be a horse that turns up again at Galway and at a price could maybe reach the frame. Monaster Boy for me in the mile on the Tuesday. Then on the Wednesday, we have the Galway Place 640 again, 2 miles, 6 furlongs. You got to jump, and you got to jump accurately. And sometimes the race, often to me, Tom, suits front runners that get into a rhythm and leave everybody out with the washing.
Yeah, I suppose as well, just with front runners in the Galway Plate, the one thing I will say is, you know, that the fences are not very big. So horses that have maybe made mistakes or whatever in the past, but are free running sorts, they can kind of, like you said, they can get away in front because they're never really going to make a too severe mistake, because obviously there's a long run in, and the only real scope for something to go wrong is with those two fences that are really, really close together in the dip. But overall, the fences in Galway don't take a huge amount of jumping, which is one of the reasons why, you know, horses that are prominently ridden have gotten sort of loose there in the past. But yeah, it's such a great race, and it's such a great prize money as well these days now. It is a slightly, you know, back in the day, you just have these sort of honest handicappers, but it's another one that's going the way that the classier sorts. And I think Nürburgring here is looking for a pretty unique feat in going to follow, having won a Galway hurdle and then trying to look and again do a Galway Plate. And he's right up near the top of the market to do it. You know, like, what a horse. He just goes to all the big festivals.
Is he no value though now? No value, Tom?
No. He's no value. He's no value. But like, I mean, for the owners, the Sands family, they just must have the best crack with him, because gets to go to Galway, gets to run at Leopard's Town at Christmas, will run at Cheltenham, will run at Royal Ascot, and they could probably run him in Ebor. Like, what a brilliant horse to own. And like I said, then it's not like they haven't had success along the way. But yeah, I see what you mean. He's not really a price. There has to be something else in there lurking, you would imagine.
Would you like?
There's a couple in there I like at lower weights. I think, look, Jazzy Maddie is obviously going for the race. He's a dual Cheltenham Festival winner. He is a Cheltenham Festival winner. Really like his chances. Down there, 1-4-2. And there's actually a horse here at a huge price. He might not get in. I hope he gets in. But Facile Mode, he has made
Tom
mistakes. Yeah. And Tom Mullins actually went a long time without having a winner until Nace a couple of weeks ago. I think it was only like his second winner of the year. So this horse is really classy. Do you remember he won a bumper at Leopardstown at Christmas and then ran in lots of really good bumpers, and he's lost his way. He has lost his way a little bit, and he has made mistakes jumping. But as I mentioned, at Galway, you can make mistakes jumping and get away with it if you have an engine. And I think Facile Mode has an engine. I think it'd be 50 or 66 to 1. If he gets in, you know, if you're going to have €2 each way, a city bet, like I think Facile Mode is one at a big price. And then, you know, a horse that's still on the up, I think, is Jazzy Maddie.
Yeah. Okay. So Down Memory Lane, the Company Sergeant, and Blood Destiny, all popular in the market. There's a couple I like. One is 3-Card Brag, who's been a decent novice hurdle and chase horse, who's threatening to win one of these big races. Ran well in the Grand National for a long way. He's a graded performer, and also ran well at Christmas at Leopardstown. And the one I like, though, probably my bet of the week, is Anyway. A very interesting horse here. Ken Budd's trains down in Cork. Second at the Cheltenham Festival, won a massive price. And then a distance winner at Killarney as well in his career. Coming into this off the back of a win at Kilbeggan. The weight seems okay. I think he's got a right each way shout. Davy Russell's involved heavily down there, so I hope they win.
Yeah, and the other thing here, maybe Blood Destiny is just better than these. Yeah. There is a chance that happens. Look, Blood Destiny could just be the class act in this race, and you can't kind of discount that. Obviously, Nürburgring, I like that shout with Anyway as well, because he has that big field experience, that big festival experience, which is just huge. You know, sometimes these horses come from, like, even if they're running graded races, you get so many small field graded races that they don't get that proper hustle and bustle experience. But look, would it be a massive shock if, you know, Blood Destiny just ended up in better knees? I like that. I like that Anyway shout though, John. Yeah.
What's your shout?
I would similar. I'd like again my similar, but Jazzy Maddy be, you know, with a similar argument, you know, and a horse that you just, you know, has been really laid out for the race.
The hurdle on Thursday, a bit of an earlier time, 4:30 for the 2 mile feature. So we've got Put Your Hands Together. One of Cheltenham is popular in the market, as are Mr. Percy in Dowie, who was second last year. Hello Neighbour. William Mullins is a load in this. What do you like?
Yeah, there's a couple. Sorry, I just made some notes. And I was just looking at this. So Blue, like I mentioned Blue Lemon as well, when we talked about the GPT, the amateur race on Monday. So I did think that Blue Lemon's off 137 had a squeak. He was, you know, he went to Royal Ascot last time out. I don't think, having looked at him physically at Fairy House, good grounded suit him. He's quite a big, burly horse. And yeah, I thought he had a squeak. Interesting one is Put Your Hands Together, Jake McManus. He's the same price for this as he was for the Grimes Hurdle when he sort of, you know, finished sixth that day in what was probably a prep run that day behind Jesse Evans and others. Look, he's third in a grade one. He has top festival experience. And he just kind of just jumped off the page a little bit, like his earlier form has beaten the likes of Ballysacks Hank, who obviously went and won the summer plate. He's another horse who Mark Walsh rarely gives a horse a bad ride, but he got beaten in Fairy House earlier on the season. I don't know how it happened, but he did that day. He's a horse who I definitely think is better than his mark. Look, the price, those setting the prices haven't missed him either, but just a note that he's the same price for a Galway Hurdle as he was for a Grimes Hurdle, which is obviously a far smaller pot and lesser experience. So obviously I'm of a similar opinion to the odds makers that think that was just a prep run that day and this is the long enough term target for this horse. But look, there's so many in the field that you could say, you know, the Galway Hurdle is a long-term target. Sure, every horse that wins a hurdle race from April onwards and it is, so you know, sort of what, sub-150.
So what do you narrow it down? Is he your selection?
I like Blue Lemons. I just was weirded out by the fact he gets such a big entry in the GPT on Monday. But no, Put Your Hands Together is the definite selection.
So Willie Mullins has entered as well as Blue Lemons. He's entered Lost Kingdom, Gaucher, Winter Fog, Jalia Morvier, Batman Girac, Toon Sivator. He's sent out horses like Sharjah and Arman to win this off a big weight. Gordon Elliott has entered Bowens on Fire, Cashel Day Lad.
Bowens on Fire is an interesting one as well. I thought, you know, right down the bottom, I just question whether ultimately he's good enough, but he's definitely on an upward curve. And, you know, the likes of Ballysacks Hank have boosted his form. Yeah. So he was on my long list. And then I put a line through him, just don't think ultimately his ceiling is high enough.
Yes.
But he was definitely in the mix when I was combing through this.
Jesse Evans has been second in the race twice before. Fergal O'Brien will saddle Dysart Enos, a good mare. But I'm actually going for another Gordon Elliott horse in Dowie, because he was second in the race last year, then second in the county hurdle. He's been freshened up since then. With a year further under his belt, I think with improvement, he can go close. If Jack Kennedy rides him, I think he's definitely an each way shout.
Absolutely. And look, if that horse finished second at Cheltenham for Gordon, like, you know, Gordon couldn't buy a winner at Cheltenham. Everything went wrong. And he was one of the horses that really kind of stood up and gave him some hope before, obviously, he had the winner in the very last race. So, you know, Cheltenham was a real forgettable time. So you can probably mark up the performance of any Gordon Elliott horse at Cheltenham. So yeah, I wouldn't be discounting Nadawi for that reason as well.
Briefly, so this week at Galway, I'm going for the radio section anyway, 16-1 each way in the plate on Wednesday. What are you going for?
So just elsewhere at Galway, I just thought I'd pop something up too. Just in the first day, there's a novice hurdle that Willie Mullins has won in the past with Mystical Power in 2023, and he's won it a load of times. He has Davy Crockett entered this time round. Davy Crockett by Camelot out of the great Annie Power. So it makes him a half brother to Mystical Power, who won this race 2 years ago. And that's on Monday evening. Davy Crockett, who'll carry the colours of the Coolmore partners there, Sue Magner there on Monday night. So that's just one to throw in the mix.
Okay, this is the Racing Pod on Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. If you're looking for more, including our look at Saturday's action at Ascot, York and Goran Park and Tom's Charity Bet, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full pod with all of our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.